standing by. All participants will be on a listen-only line until the question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question at that time, please press star one on your touch-tone phone, unmute your line, and clearly record your name when prompted. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I'd now like to go ahead and turn the call over to your host for today, to Mr. Keith Marzullo. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you, Jose. I'd like to welcome you to the NSF webinar on our newest solicitation, hardware security. First, I want to apologize for the slow start. We've had some problems with our bridges and people calling in. So we finally have almost 40 people who've been able to get through, so we're starting. Anyway, I'm Keith Marzullo. I'm the Division Director of the Computer Network Systems Division here at NSF. Seated next to me is Celia Mertzbacher, who's the Vice President of Innovative Partnerships at the Semiconductor Research Corporation, or SRC. Also joining me at NSF is Jeremy Epstein. You'll see him soon. He's the Lead Program Officer for the Secure and Trustworthy Cyberspace, or SATSI, program. And by phone, we have Angelos Karamitis as Program Officer, and we have over here Ralph Wachter, who will also be available to answer questions as we go into a discussion on the STARS program. We're really pleased to announce this joint solicitation between NSF and the SRC, titled Secure, Trustworthy, Assured, and Resilient Semiconductors and Systems Program, which we call by the short name STARS. NSF and SRC has worked together before this, but this solicitation is the first time NSF and SRC have joined together on a research program in cybersecurity. They recognize that partnering together, we can advance and accelerate research in this vital area. On this slide, we have listed several other program directors at NSF for STARS who will manage the review process. The selection awards will be a joint decision by NSF and by SRC. And before I get into the slides, I'll mention these slides will be posted to the NSF website after the conclusion of the webinar, as well as the video. So you'll be able to see all of this. So let's change slides, please. So we'll begin with a discussion of this unique partnership and the motivation behind it. By the way, this is going to last roughly an hour. We'll hang around as long as questions are coming in, and of course you can talk with us later. We'll follow with a major theme of the program, which can be summarized as design for assurance. We'll also discuss specific topic areas of interest. Because SRC will be an active participant in this process, we will carefully highlight the special aspects of the program administration and proposal selection. In particular, how it differs from proposal administration for our nominal SATSI program. We'll close out our prepared remarks on questions that we think the community might ask about the program, and then we'll open it up for you for discussion, anything you wish to have. Next slide, please. So as I alluded to at the beginning of this presentation, NSF and SRC have had a successful history of collaboration. Previous joint solicitations have focused, for example, on failure-resistant systems and multi-core architectures. These collaborations provide a number of benefits to our researchers, including the chance to have a deeper interaction between university researchers and students within industry technologists. Such interactions can offer insights on the needs and capabilities of industry, provide mentoring to students interested in industry careers, and facilitate the technology transfer. The interaction also offers a chance to influence and educate industry on innovative approaches and results. This year, we are really fortunate to be partnering with SRC on the Secure, Trustworthy, Assured, and Resilient Semiconductor and Systems, or STARS, program, which is a new activity aimed at making semiconductors and hardware systems more reliable, trustworthy, and secure. This program expands NSF's Secure and Trustworthy Cyberspace program, that is SATSI, which is a cross-disciplinary, cross-directorate program devoted at all aspects of cybersecurity. So at this point, I'd like to turn it over to Celia Mertzbacher from SRC.
Thank you, Keith. For those of you who are not familiar with SRC, I'll just spend a moment giving you a little bit of background. SRC was established over 30 years ago in 1982 by a group of semiconductor companies to help each member to be more competitive by collectively funding pre-competitive university research. Through SRC's engagement with and funding of universities, ideas are generated to help industry address technology challenges. Fruitful interaction takes place among industry and academic experts, and a robust pool of talent for ongoing research and future employment is sustained. Through a variety of activities and processes, SRC aims to maximize the value of the research it invests in. A key to SRC's longevity is that it provides benefits to all participants, whether from industry, government, or academia. Benefits to industry researchers in particular who receive SRC funding include guidance on industry needs and industry capabilities, funding, of course, often in partnership with government, as in the case of STARS, input and feedback during the research, industry contacts and relationships that are developed, and pathways to practical application and technology transfer. Since its inception, SRC has invested roughly $2 billion of industry funding, creating and sustaining a university research enterprise with expertise that's critical to the ongoing advancement of semiconductor science and technology. STARS, which we're talking about today, is part of a new SRC thrust focused on secure, trustworthy, and secure semiconductors and systems, or T3S. T3S is an SRC program with initial funding from four companies, AMD, Freescale, Intel, and Mentor Graphics. Several trends are impacting the security and trustworthiness of semiconductor-based hardware, and those are outlined in this slide. First of all, semiconductors are more and more pervasive. They're in almost everything that we use in daily life, from our mobile devices and personal computers to the semiconductors that are part of systems and critical infrastructure for financial systems, energy, transportation, and national security systems. In addition to the increasing prevalence of semiconductors, they're more networked and interconnected, which opens the possibility of unintended access or control. Moreover, products and the design and manufacturing processes for making those products are becoming more complex. For instance, a single microprocessor can have billions of transistors and many functions, and many design or IP blocks are used in the design, and those IPs come from many third-party sources. Some of those are of unknown security and may pose vulnerabilities. Growing complexity is paralleled by a more fragmented or lengthy and global supply chain, and many components are produced and processing steps performed by businesses that are located outside the U.S. and around the world. So these trends come together and lead to a number of increased risks. There are increased numbers of vulnerabilities and types of vulnerabilities. There's greater impact if a chip fails. And as a result, there are more targets and more attractive targets for adversaries. So this graphic shows the path from an idea illustrated on a sort of napkin, sketch of a napkin on the left, for a processor to the actual chip shown on the right. And there are numerous steps in between, from the initial description developed by an architect through increasingly detailed and specific representations, and eventually conversion from an abstract expression to the physical layout that's ultimately manufactured. The entire design and manufacture chain involves many individuals and often at many different firms located perhaps around the world. And so there are many points along the way where there's a handoff between one process and the next. Between each step in the design, there's a verification that the next level of description of the design is the same as what was intended in the previous step. And so there's this verification process that happens along the way, and eventually the physical version is verified to do what it was designed to do. So to provide assurance regarding the final product, the processes from end to end must be secure. From the architecture and specification through verification, and finally, the ability to authenticate. And in order to make progress, we need to be able to measure security and trustworthiness. So if you click, this is just illustrating the points along this process where priority research has been identified. So at the front end, there's need for design for assurance research next. At the points where verification is done, either of third-party IP or of IP developed in-house, there's need for not only functional verification, but also security verification, next. In addition, you need to be able to verify the relative trustworthiness, so metrics are in order. And finally, at the end, there's a need to be able to authenticate by the user or at points along the supply chain that the product is what it's supposed to be. The next chart simply shows the same set of steps, only oriented vertically. And in addition to possible errors, bugs, and design weaknesses that can lead to security vulnerabilities, such as side channels or back doors, hardware is vulnerable to counterfeiting and tampering, both of which can cause a chip to not perform as intended. This schematic shows the same flow as shown before, but in addition, points in the process where tampering or counterfeiting can occur are highlighted, and some of these attacks are certainly more likely than others. It should be noted that a number of measures are in use today by the semiconductor industry to thwart these threats, but the growing number of targets for attack and the increasing sophistication of attackers is creating a demand for tools and strategies that provide even greater assurance. Threats and challenges to security and trustworthiness of hardware can take many forms, including those shown here, and can arise from a number of potential points of weakness or attack. I won't read them all, but just briefly, weak specification, design, or implementation can lead to unintended functionality or unauthorized access or control. Side channels can result in data exfiltration or the ability to hamper proper performance of a device. In addition to unintentional weaknesses or bugs, tampering by an adversary, for example, inserting a hardware trojan during design or manufacture can impact hardware performance. Interfaces between modules or IP blocks may provide points of attack. Design IP and tools provided by third-party suppliers are not generally verifiable for security properties. Authentication techniques that are easy to implement and assess but hard to counterfeit are needed, as well as methods for tracking provenance of a product in the supply chain. STARS seeks to address these threats and challenges with new technology-based strategies and techniques. So a sort of overarching statement or question is, how can one be assured that a chip does what it was designed to do and nothing else? So with that in mind, the goal of STARS, next slide please, is to develop strategies and tools that enable the design and manufacture of semiconductors and systems that are secure, trustworthy, assured, and resistant to attack or counterfeiting. The objectives are to, as shown here, to make semiconductors and systems not only functional but also secure and trustworthy. That is, to avoid unintended or unwanted behavior, access, or control, increase resistance to tampering or counterfeiting, and to improve the ability to authenticate, whether it's third-party IP or a final product. We're looking at these problems from a science and technology perspective and with a view toward ultimately being able to transition the results into practice. I want to emphasize that SRC member companies are interested in novel approaches for managing the dynamic threats going forward. I'll turn it over now to Jeremy Epstein to describe the solicitation in more detail. Jeremy?
Thank you. Thank you, Celia and Keith. So much of what I'm going to discuss in the next few slides is a summary of what's in the solicitation, but I'll go through them quickly. So the topics of interest include anything that addresses the goals and objectives that Celia just covered. Some specific areas of interest to the STARS program include new architecture and design approaches and frameworks for specifying and reasoning about the security of hardware, new security-specific properties and principles, as well as metrics to measure security, threat assessment to identify, classify, analyze, and share information about security threats in hardware, hardware-specific security verification and analysis tools and techniques, tools and frameworks to develop semiconductor security development models to guide semiconductor design and manufacture, new models for authentication and attestation. In each area, we're looking for new approaches that offer more general solutions rather than ad hoc or narrowly applicable concepts. I'm not going to elaborate on each of these areas in more detail on the next slides, and of course, these topics are interrelated. So in the space of architecture and design, we're seeking new approaches and models and frameworks for specifying, measuring, and reasoning about hardware-specific security. Also of interest are methods for ensuring that a security-specific intellectual property block is secure, and also for ensuring that there are no security-related vulnerabilities resulting from unintended behavior or side effects related to any other IP blocks. Research on novel design or specification languages that are security aware, for example, through quantifiable security attributes, are also of interest. Areas not of particular interest include get another design description or specification caption language. This would be an example of an unduly narrow topic, as mentioned earlier. Next, please. An area of interest is properties, principles, and metrics for security of hardware. The program seeks new high-level hardware design principles and semiconductor-specific properties that go beyond high-level security properties such as confidentiality, integrity, and availability of security-sensitive assets and access mechanisms. Also of importance and interest is the development of a knowledge base of concrete examples, scenarios, and other empirical evidence. Development of new metrics that provide a measure of the security of a particular design is of particular interest. Another example of this topic of interest is a metric based on general modeling of threats, system vulnerabilities that are correlated and applied to a variety of hardware and applications, such as embedded IP block, etc. An example not of interest would be another metric for a specific type of hardware or application. Next, please. In order to assess the threats in the semiconductor community, one needs to be able to identify, classify, analyze, and share information about security threats in hardware. Research on designing dynamic information bases that capture this information from either unintended vulnerabilities or those included as part of a malicious design or fabrication are also needed. Research into taxonomies and representations of hardware-related security threats is also of interest. Next, please. Tools, techniques, and methodologies for verifying hardware-specific security properties and enforcing the security design principles are essential. This includes techniques to ensure coverage and equivalency regarding security between various design, implementation, integration, and manufacturing phases. These can be extensions and/or enhancements to existing tools and methodologies, intersecting existing design and verification process flows. Research in this area includes novel abstraction and mathematical representation of hardware security threats and vulnerabilities. Regression and other testing methodologies for security are also of interest. There is a need for the semiconductor design and manufacturing equivalent of leading software engineering models and frameworks such as IBM's Secure Engineering Framework. A comprehensive semiconductor security development model would provide a framework for responding to vulnerabilities and would offer ways to measure organizational maturity with respect to security of products, as well as to assess product assurance over time. Such a development model could guide academic and industrial curricula targeted at instructing architects, designers, and engineers. Research in this area could be facilitated by access to industry practices. New models for authentication and attestation are of great importance. These could be models for the insertion of artifacts and or design elements that are verifiable through the design and manufacture pathway. Also of interest are techniques for dynamic verification in the field and non-destructive authentication. Of great importance is semiconductor provenance models and other related design artifacts, including, for example, hardware fingerprinting and third-party design element model checking. Other issues such as the generation, protection, and establishment of trust models for hardware-implemented keys are also of interest. Now that we've gone through all the topics, let's move into the logistics of the program, which is, of course, what many of you are dialed in to learn about. So the proposals to this joint program will be submitted to NSF with the following requirements, which are, of course, all in the solicitation. Proposals may be up to 3 years with a maximum award value of $500,000. The submission deadline is 5 p.m. proposers local time on the 26th of March, 2014. We ask that the title begin with a prefix SATC:STARS:. This is something to help us track them and make sure we don't lose your proposal. Only one proposal per PI or co-PI to STARS is allowed. The limit is separate and distinct from the SATC program. No proposal containing or referencing classified information will be accepted. Proposals must follow all the usual NSF policies, including inclusion of biographical sketches, budgets, budget justifications, lists of references, data management plans, etc. Proposals are submitted through Fastlane or grants.gov, as with any NSF proposal. One requirement that is different from the usual submission to NSF is a statement of consent that gives NSF permission to share the proposal, reviews, and other related information with SRC. The statement of consent needs to be uploaded into Fastlane or grants.gov as a supplementary document, There is no particular format for the statement, but we expect it will be no more than about a page. SRC will treat your proposal as proprietary. The proposal review process will be conducted by NSF according to the standard rules and procedures in place for NSF small proposals. The review and award recommendations will be coordinated by a joint NSF and SRC working group of program officers from both NSF and SRC. Projects that are selected for funding by both NSF and SRC will be funded under two funding instruments. That is, NSF support will be funded, will be provided via an NSF grant, and SRC support will be provided via an SRC contract. Note that not all projects will necessarily be jointly funded. NSF or SRC may decide to fund certain projects separately. The budget submitted with a proposal should include all necessary project funds without regard to the fact that there may be two funding organizations. The budget will be divided subsequent to selection. All awards involving SRC funds will be made under a contract that provides for non-exclusive royalty-free rights to all SRC members for any intellectual property generated as a result of the SRC-funded research. NSF and SRC will manage their respective awards or contracts according to their own procedures and guidelines. All awardees must submit annual reports to the respective funding agency, which is to say NSF and or SRC. If a project is co-funded by NSF and SRC, the PI must submit reports to both NSF and SRC, which are similar in content. One or more project representatives from an awarded STARS project must attend the first PI meeting, which is currently planned for the fall of 2014. In years where there is no SATC PI meeting to attend, SRC will hold a review of all of the STARS projects. You'll have a chance to ask questions shortly, but first we wanted to review some of the questions we've received to date that we believe are of general interest. The first is, can I submit the same proposal to SATC and STARS? No, this is an easy one. You have to choose one program. You may submit related proposals to both, but not the same. You should see the NSF Grant Proposal Guide, the GPG, and in particular note that you must list the related proposal in the current and pending area and describe how it differs. Question, does the submission to STARS count towards the two proposal limit to SATC? No, as I mentioned, you can submit two proposals to SATC and one to STARS. Question, I submitted the perfect STARS proposal to SATC. What should I do? Answer, you may withdraw the proposal and submit it to STARS. Question, can a STARS proposal include a transition to practice option which allows for additional funds? Answer, no. TTP options are for SATC small, medium, and frontier proposals only. However, STARS awardees will work closely with industry to enable transition. An NSF supplement to the STARS grant could also be used to fund this transition effort. How do I decide whether to submit to SATC or STARS? If you are interested in working closely with industry, and or in SRC co-funding, then please submit to STARS. Talk to a SATC or SRC program director if you are unsure. Proposals on hardware security may be submitted to either SATC or STARS. That said, SATC is a large, broad, interdisciplinary program that includes hardware, but also spans software, theory, networking, social sciences, and numerous other topics. STARS, a joint effort between NSF and SRC, is more narrowly focused on security aspects of hardware and offers an opportunity to interact more with industry. Question, does the new STARS program mean that SATC will be reducing funding for hardware security? No, hardware security is still a priority for SATC. Are only hardware proposals in scope for STARS? Yes. STARS is hardware-oriented, but interfaces with software, including microcode, firmware, and software tools that are used to design surface systems. Question, how many awards will be made? We expect to make 6 awards subject to availability of funds. Question, is there a difference contractually between an NSF award and an SRC award? Answer, NSF awards grants, while SRC awards contracts. Standard SRC contract has been executed with hundreds of universities and includes requirements for certain deliverables, including annual reports on research progress, copies of publication, and student information. If co-funded, is the same proposal used by NSF and SRC? Yes, there's a single statement of work based on the technical description in the proposal, but there's two separate funding agreements. The proposal you submit should include all required funds. NSF and SRC will determine how to split the costs between the organizations and will provide guidance on revising the budget. Will SRC fund participants at non-U.S. institutions which are not funded by NSF? No. All the funded participants must follow NSF eligibility requirements. Collaboration with non-U.S. organizations is, however, encouraged. Is this new money in addition to SATC? Yes, both NSF and SRC are putting in funds. NSF funds are mostly from the SATC programs. SRC's funds are a new investment. Is STARS a multi-year program? Yes, NSF and SRC anticipate continuing investments in the future, subject to availability of funds. Are there any restrictions on intellectual property since SRC is involved? Under the standard SRC contract, the university retains ownership and SRC receives a non-exclusive royalty-free license for its members to any IP developed. Can we get access to SRC member technology? This would be handled on a case-by-case basis between a member company and university. In the past, information has been made available. On occasion, an NDA has been executed in order to allow for sharing of company proprietary information. Do I have to attend the NSF biennial SAT-CPI meetings and SRC reviews? Yes, but not in the same year. The SAT-CPI meeting will alternate years with SRC reviews, the first one in 2014. In years when there is a SATC meeting, an SRC review may be added on, perhaps as a supplemental day. Do I have to submit reports to both NSF and SRC on a SATC on a STARS award? Yes. As I mentioned earlier, assuming both SRC and NSF jointly fund the award, typically the report required by SRC and NSF are similar in content. Will SRC be actively involved as collaborators and working on spin-off projects or provide in-kind support? Yes, SRC provides for interaction and engagement between technical experts at member companies and funded researchers, which can result in a variety of other collaborations. Will SRC act as an industrial advisory team or as part of a larger advisory team? SRC coordinates industry input and feedback through a number of mechanisms, including webinars, annual reviews, and through an industry liaison program that connects individuals from member companies with university research projects. Finally, we've come to the end of the frequently asked questions list. If you do have other questions in just a moment, I'm going to open the phone lines. This is the names and contact information for the program officers at both SRC and NSF. We encourage you to contact us if you have questions that aren't answered on the phone after this call. And this presentation and the audio and video will be posted shortly on the NSF website. And this is the same NSF website where you find the solicitation. Let's see, and I think with that, let's open the phone line, and I'll invite Keith and Celia to rejoin me, and if you want to join us also, Ralph. Okay, Ralph isn't going to join us. But, operator, Jose, would you please open the phone line?
Certainly. Once again, if you'd like to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone. One moment for the first question on the phone line.
Okay. Actually, Jose, before we give that question, can you open the phone line for Angelos Karamitis as well?
Angelos' line is open.
Thank you. Go ahead with the question, please. Jose, I can't hear the question.
One moment. No one's queued up just yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said there was someone queued up. I apologize.
Should the written question?
Okay, can you read it? I don't have my distance glasses.
He said, should an assurance be focused on the people and process controls within the semiconductor manufacturer environment by leveraging proven certifications like ISO 9001, in parentheses, quality management, and then ISO 27001, security management?
I'll take that one, I think. So that's a great question. It has to do with the importance of standards in assuring security, and ultimately standards are going to be necessary, but we're really focused with STARS on the basic research that is going to lay the groundwork. Today, many of the standards that are used are not technical-based standards, but more process-based standards, and so we really need the STARS research to enable future standards in this area. Thanks for the question.
Jose, do we have any queued up phone questions?
There are no questions in the queue at this time.
Wow, I guess our FAQ answered all the FAQs. Well, if there...
We'll wait one or two more minutes, because we've had people having a hard time.
I think we could elaborate on the first frequently asked question of, you know, submitting to STARS versus SATC. I'm sure that's on everybody's mind in a way, and given that the funding for STARS is associated with SATC and that in theory any STARS proposal is also eligible for submission to SATC, I guess I'd be interested in any additional thoughts you want to offer on that, Keith.
So I think, first as a former PI, I've got to say having extra time to submit a proposal is really attractive. But in fact, I think this opportunity of being able to partner with SRC, to have the industrial eyes looking at this, to be able to, if it looks like it would be useful, a kind of deeper relationship with industry, this is a wonderful opportunity for our researchers. It's a way of being able to get feedback on the value of your research, to be able to influence the way industry is going as well, if there's resonance there. It's a way to really ground your research in an excellent way. So I think it's a wonderful opportunity.
And I'll certainly echo that from SRC's point of view. Our member companies value greatly their interactions with the university folks who they have access to, both the students and the faculty, through SRC programs. And I think there are a lot of benefits in addition to those that go along with getting the NSF funding, that is having the opportunity for students to spend time perhaps on internships with member companies, regular contact or knowing where to go with questions, and the opportunity to have access to industry data, real data, or other information that wouldn't be available otherwise.
And we did get a couple of questions queued up.
Please go ahead.
The first one comes from Christoph Parr with University of Mass. Your line is open.
Yeah, it's Christoph here. Thanks for the excellent presentation. One question that I have, would you also consider funding things such as Trojan design and then countermeasures based on this Trojan design?
Sure. We, in the SATC program, historically, we have not focused on designing attacks unless they clearly come with mechanisms to protect against them. So Developing a new Trojan would only be of interest if you also show us as part of the proposal that you're going to come up with ways to prevent somebody else from doing that Trojan or anything similar to that Trojan.
Okay, now that makes sense. Okay, thank you.
Related to that, Jeremy, what about something that shows that a current technique that is supposed to detect Trojans is ineffective?
Sure, that would also be appropriate. Again, if you can show that you can then improve the technique so that it can detect the things that the existing technique cannot address. But simply breaking things, it has not been in scope for SATC, and I don't think would be viewed as in scope for STARS.
Okay. I'll echo that as well on behalf of SRC. There's, I'll emphasize the interest in generalizable strategies, approaches, techniques, and methods. Being able to develop new formal methods, for example, would be more interesting than an individual example of an attack.
Okay, makes sense. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Greg Creech with Ohio State University.
Thank you. Yes, I was wondering with the SRC involvement, if they potentially had a test bed where different techniques or methodologies may be demonstrated and provide test articles to exercise techniques on. And in the absence of that, if it would be frowned upon or even encouraged maybe to work with some of the DOD labs that have such a test bed in place to demonstrate developed techniques.
Well, certainly if there are existing test beds that a proposer knows about at a federal laboratory or at a company, they would be encouraged to identify that. And as we indicated in the frequently asked questions, the interactions with member companies would probably be handled on a case-by-case basis. But if you wanted to get more detailed answers to questions like this, you could contact me.
All right, thank you.
There's, I think, maybe a different question.
Yeah, I was going to wait.
I think that was it.
That was the last one. Mr. Lambeau, again, he's asking, can we apply for a grant as a for-profit without any affiliation with the university?
Yes, applications from for-profit companies are allowed. Of course, the importance of broader impact is more difficult in for-profit companies since you won't have students and things like that, and we all expect that at NSF, and we also expect publication. So keep that in mind, but it's certainly permitted.
And so I'll just weigh in and say there's no difference in terms of eligibility of proposers because SRC is involved. So you can find all of the description of eligible proposers in the NSF documentation.
Using interns?
Certainly using interns is fine. That's a great way to get some broader impact, and we would encourage that. Any other questions on the phone?
Great, thanks.
No other questions at this time.
Okay, then I think we'll wrap up with we have one last slide. Takeaways as a reminder. We believe this is an exciting new opportunity for NSF-funded researchers to work closely with industry. STARS researchers will help to provide assurance that hardware will be secure and trustworthy into the future. I'll remind you again, proposals are due 26th of March to NSF through Fastlane or grants.gov. And if you have questions, you should contact an NSF and or SRC program officer. All of our contact information is in these slides that will be posted on the website shortly. So, Celia or Keith, any concluding comments from you?
Thank you. SRC is really pleased to be entering into this collaboration on hardware security. Our member companies are placing more and more emphasis in this area. We see it as an important one going forward, so thanks a lot.
And from NSF, we're delighted to be having this partnership. This is, I think, a great way to use the foundational research doing SETS and have a real impact.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your participation in today's conference call. The call has concluded. You may disconnect at this time.